When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. We have a fantastic conversation for all of you listeners today, as we are joined by a true college tennis lifer, someone who has seen everything this sport has to offer, dating back, of course, to his All-American playing days at The Ohio State University in the early 2010s. Of course, now we all get to admire the job he does as leader and head coach of the Nebraska men's tennis program. Of course, I'm alluding to Coach Peter Kobelt, who joins us on the podcast once again today to break down what year one has been like for him on the job. And remember, Peter's someone who has seen everything college tennis has to offer, starting off on the bench at Ohio State, working his way all the way to All-American status, a guy who went and played futures, challengers, trying to build up his ranking. After that, takes an unpaid volunteer coaching position at Kentucky, then steps into an assistant role at Nebraska before being elevated into his head coaching position. Again, in terms of experience, in terms of seeing every level, every aspect, every angle of this sport, hard to imagine a more complete resume than Coach Kobelt's, and thus it was such a pleasure to have the opportunity to pick his brain once again as he offered insight, not just into what it's been like for him in year one on the job, but of course offering insight into the specifics of why his Nebraska team is in the thick of the NCAA tournament race here in 2024, what he thinks they need to do down the home stretch to get over the hump, you know, what he's going to be focused on in offseason number one for him on the job, or I should say his first full offseason on the job. It was a tremendous conversation. Again, a thank you to Coach Kobelt, as always, for taking the time to chat. I am certain this is a podcast that all of you listeners are going to enjoy. Of course, if you're looking for more coverage of everything happening in the college tennis universe, head on over to the Great Shot podcast feed, where we recap all the Division I men's and women's action every Tuesday and Wednesday. You can also watch those shows live, 9 p.m. Eastern time, on our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel. We only have one more weekend of cross-court casts to go, so make sure you check them out on ESPN Plus Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Believe we have them every day this weekend as we reach the home stretch of this 2024 regular season. Again, all of those broadcasts available on ESPN Plus. We've got Big Ten coverage on our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel on Sunday as well. A lot of fun tennis on the horizon. Make sure you're tuning in. It's the home stretch of the college tennis season, and the race feels as wide open as ever. So make sure you check out our coverage of everything happening in the Division I college tennis world. Speaking of which, let's hear from someone whose team is in the thick of one of those races here in this 2024 season. Here's my conversation with Nebraska men's tennis head coach Peter Kobelt. Joining us on the podcast once again today is a man I know best as someone 10 years ago about today, firmly ensconced in something we call the guy conversation in college tennis. It's because, of course, a decade ago, he was leading Ohio State to their first national indoor championship. Dare I say, the man who made Kevin Metka relevant. Of course, now we know him as the head coach of the University of Nebraska men's tennis program. Welcome back onto our show, Coach Peter Kobelt. Coach, it is good to see you. Let's just start with that fun fact. The national indoor title was a decade ago. Are you feeling as old as I am, my friend?
Wow, 10 years has gone by fast, that's for sure. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's crazy to think. And yeah, I mean, again, 10 years ago, you were at the peaks of your power. Like I like to say, it was probably you, Axel Alvarez, Damajan, Frank, and we'll throw Julian Lenz in the mix. I'm going to say that was the 2014 guy conversation. Maybe even your assistant now, Ray Sarmiento, was flirting with that group as well. Of course, now you and Ray are the coaching staff for the University of Nebraska. And I'm just curious, that transition 10 years later, what does it mean to you to have that opportunity so early in your career?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously it's you never know what's going to happen in the coaching sphere of things. And obviously I'm super blessed to have the job and to be in this position, and also to have a guy like Ray by my side here, kind of doing it with me for the first time here, which is awesome. Obviously we have a history together. He obviously played at USC and was an unbelievable champion there. And then, you know, obviously he did great on tour as well, but just having the connection, you know, and the trust in each other that, you know, he's going to do a great job. I'm going to do the best job I can do. I'm learning a lot from him. We're bouncing ideas off each other, and I think it's gone great so far. But yeah, he's a huge asset to have here for sure.
What was that process like for you, just to take listeners back to last summer? Obviously, you and Sean had a really good year in 2023. I know you didn't quite get over that NCAA hurdle, but you finished top 60 for the first time in about a decade for the program. Obviously, you know, again, you're bringing back some faces, bringing in some new recruits. All things were trending up. Then you guys all learn Sean's headed to Michigan. There's this uncertainty surrounding the program. What was last summer like for you? What was that process like ultimately becoming head coach?
Well, this might make you smile, Alex. But Sean was always super transparent with me. And, you know, Sean's awesome. I have a lot of respect for Sean, and he's the reason why I'm here. And I, you know, he's still one of my mentors for sure. I still talk to him all the time, but because I definitely have a lot of questions. he told me straight away. He's like, yeah, you know, this is something I'm looking into. And honestly, I told him at the beginning, like, hey, like if you need an assistant, I'll follow you to Michigan. So, but yeah, just Michigan kind of took their time with the whole process. And the longer it went on, I just kind of saw the opportunity, like, hey, like, I think this is a chance to maybe grab the job here. And I kind of talked to our boss and just asked. I was like, hey, you know, like, what do you think about the opportunity? And that's kind of how it all shaped out. But yeah, at the beginning, I was like, Sean, like, let's go. I'll follow you to Michigan. Come on.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that would have been a transition for a former Buckeye, to say the least.
I know. But I loved working with Sean, and he was like, he was just a really good boss. So I was, at the time, I was like, okay, like, cause as the assistant in this coaching world, you don't know who they're going to bring in, and your job's not guaranteed anywhere. So, but that's where I was at the time.
I can only imagine. And let the record show, we would have gladly accepted you in Ann Arbor. And I know you were just there coaching a few days, maybe a week ago now, obviously, with your Huskers. But obviously, you don't end up taking that assistant job in Ann Arbor. You are elevated to the head coaching position. And I'm just curious, what's the first 2 weeks like? Like, what do you do? What is that like as you're named head coach? How does one go about? I know you were the assistant there before, but what does one do going about establishing themselves in that position? Like, I'm fascinated to know what those first few weeks are like.
Yeah, it was all happening like behind the closed doors. I was actually overseas recruiting for the first like 3 or 4 days of it. I was like running around Europe trying to wrangle in some recruits. So that was probably the most chaotic part, was just having to do all this stuff like on my computer and with my boss here from Europe. So that was the hardest part. But once I got back, sitting down, you know, I sit down with the AD, you talk to the AD, and you type out like your pitch and your plan for the program and everything. And then you address the team. And you know, I obviously talked to Ray and told him what was going on. And I said, hey, let's, you know, are you in on this? Let's do it. And then, yeah, it's just a lot of planning, you know, you trying to, you know, finalize the schedule, trying to, you know, make sure everyone is on board and ready to come back to school. And then, you know, trying to come up with what you want the program to be, you know, how do you want it to look like under you? So, yeah. But it was definitely stressful, but I look back and it was obviously awesome.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine. And look, I want to get back to that call with Ray because I'm curious where I was on your list. Like, I like to think I might have been top 10, but probably closer to 8 than 1 on that list of like, all right, the first 7 fell through. Let me just send Gruskin a text. But, you know, again, you have been the volunteer assistant at Kentucky, where obviously in that role you get to be a little bit more tennis-centric. Last year you're elevated to the assistant role, and now you start to do more. Now you're starting to do recruiting. Now you're starting to help with all the plans of development for all the players as well. What's the one thing, and maybe it's not one thing, but what's the thing you spend time doing as coach, head coach, that you weren't doing before? Is there any aspect of the job, maybe it's literally as simple as, you know, I now have to sign all of the paperwork or whatever it may be. Are there aspects of the head coaching job that maybe you didn't envision prior to taking it?
Well, I think obviously in today's age too, there's just a lot of changes going on in college sports.
Sure.
So it's pretty easy to get overwhelmed with everything that needs to get done and how you're trying to compete with the best programs in the country. And I'm like, okay, like I can't do 5 things at once. I can only do one thing at a time and let's do that the best I can and go from there. But I think the biggest difference is, you know, obviously at Kentucky, it was, like you said, almost 100% tennis. And I was kind of the token accountant there for a minute, taking care of all the receipts. But, but yeah, as the assistant, you have some more responsibilities like recruiting and, every school has like different responsibilities for their assistant. But as the head coach, it's all on you. You know, you got to make it happen. You know, everything that needs to get done has to get done. And that's just the way it is. And you got to learn how to delegate. You got to learn how to, you know, trust people around you. You got to have manage people around you. And I think that's probably the biggest part is trying to get on the same, to have everyone on the same page as you at the right time so you can all be successful, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, I really do want to talk about the team and what you guys have done this year because it has been an excellent season. But you talk about the changes in college tennis. And, you know, I think we'll take us back to a decade ago where a 17-year-old me is watching. You know, I like to think had I had this podcast then, you would have been the guy I turned to. I'm like, I'm telling you, Peter Kobelt's the guy. Like, he just led his team to the first national indoor championship. And, you know, when you're a kid like that, you envision the head coaching role. Oh, he gets to just dive in on the tennis. He gets to dive in on the schedule and just really be a team tennis coach, which in a way no one else gets to be. But now, 10 years later, knowing the profession, getting to know some of you all in the profession, how difficult is the fundraising aspect? Because that's the piece I've learned about, that it just feels like half of your job as head coach now is CEO/fundraiser. Am I on to anything there?
No, for sure. And, you know, this year, you know, when Ray and I sat down, our first goal was to make sure that these guys on this team really had a great year. And, you know, and my boss made it clear, like, you know, that's not, you know, the fundraising part isn't the most important part here at Nebraska, which has been great. So that alleviated a little bit of pressure there. But just where everything's going with NIL and all that, like, that's just where, you know, where I'm going to have to put a lot of my energy going forward. And I think that's a great opportunity to reconnect with alumni, to get closer to the community and to let them know, like, hey, you know, like, Nebraska's, you know, got a really up and coming tennis team here. You know, we do more than just play football and volleyball and some basketball. You know, like, there's a lot of really cool sports and a lot of really cool things that we're doing here. And we have an unbelievable facility and we're really lucky to have that. And the school supports the student athletes here amazing. And I think we're kind of a little diamond in the rough. Yeah. Out here in Nebraska. So, but yeah, I mean, you're going to, you know, you have to be competitive now in the NIL space if you want to be successful. It's just kind of the way it is.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see how the sport is changing. You're absolutely right. Now, I want to get back to some of that recruiting, what the future looks like in a little bit. But let's now talk about your team here in 2024, because I know you were able to bring back some returners from last year's roster, bring in some new pieces to supplement that as well. But I'll just ask the question bluntly, given it was your first year on the job, given, you know, the transition of all things surrounding your program this year, to be 12-7 overall, to be 9-1 at home, to be in the thick of the NCAA tournament race, is that where you expected to be back in July? What have you seen from the guys this season?
Well, back in July, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I was like, thanks. but mostly the schedule, just trying to set these guys up for success, you know, trying to get the right teams to play and everything. There's a, the schedule piece is crucial in setting the team up for success, I think. But, you know, it's been a great year. I think we've came a long way. Ray and I have really focused on making this as close of a team as possible. We try and do everything as, together as a team. And, you know, I think that's just, you know, from my experience at Ohio State and from his experience at USC, we were just super close as teams, you know, and I think that's a pivotal piece in being successful here in college tennis. But, you know, I think the season's gone really well. I think we're still growing. You know, we haven't had a match yet this year where we've been 100% healthy, which has been, you know, the injury bug seems to be going around more than ever now in college tennis. But for us, we haven't played one match yet this year where we, you know, all of our guys have been 100% healthy. And, you know, I think we're getting there. You know, obviously we were missing Ronnie for almost the whole year, and he's getting there, and just some pieces here and there, nicks and bruises here and there. But I think, you know, we're really building. We're still building. We've yet to have that kind of one, that big win. And, you know, we have some chances here coming down the road, but, you know, we're really just focused on ourselves and just trying to build our identity and do the things the right way, and you focus on the process and less on the results, and, you know, good things will happen.
In focusing on the process, because obviously that's what you have to get your kids to buy in on, how sure. gratifying and significant is a win like the kickoff weekend win against Notre Dame? And I'm curious for you personally, like, not only to get that kickoff weekend right at the start, first month of the season, you got the win at Kentucky, of all places. So to show off to the old bosses, Cedric, Matt, hey, I'm doing pretty well for myself now, guys. What did that win mean to the group? What did that win mean to you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I always say it's never about me. It's always about the
sure.
But, you know, anytime you go back to your old stomping grounds, it's always sentimental and a little emotional. Cedric and Matt are obviously two awesome guys, and they're kicking butt again this year. They do things, you know, class A, and they run an unbelievable program there, and I was lucky to be a part of it. But yeah, I mean, the win over Notre Dame was a great one. Obviously Notre Dame's, you know, historically a great team. They're great again this year. You know, Ryan and Ross do a great job there. I obviously know Ross from the Ohio State days, but I mean, that was a really big weekend for us. We were right there with Alabama too. We were serving for the match on court three. We were up 4-1 in the doubles point, and, you know, looking back, if we crossed the finish line there against Alabama, that would have been a huge win. But that's kind of just been how the season's gone. We've just been really close a lot of times, and we're, you know, we just got to keep going, you know. But yeah, the win against Notre Dame was a great one. It's one of our best ones so far this year, and we're excited to see how these last couple weeks go in conference play.
Absolutely. That weekend, you talked about scheduling and how important it is to get the schedule right, to put your guys in a position to succeed. Something you guys did, I think it was end of February, you hosted Texas Tech in Tulsa, but then I think mm-hmm. they also played in Lincoln that Saturday yep. as well. And that's something that I'm seeing more and more of on schedules where, you know, again, it's like a three-team little trio or a four-team quad throughout the weekend where everyone plays everyone. Again, it was a 2-0 weekend for the guys. I'm sure it was a fun one for you all, but is that something we might see more of on the schedule moving forward?
Yeah, I think so. Just kind of the nature of how travel is, and, yeah. you know, flights are getting more expensive, and now with the conferences getting bigger, yeah. you have less out-of-conference matches to schedule. So you got to be on top of it with who you schedule, and you know, you try and get as many, you plan out who you think is going to be ranked, how they're going to be in a year or two, and you try and schedule as good of matches as you can, you know, for one, to get your guys high quality matches. I think that's super important, and to try and put yourselves in a chance to get some ranked wins, you know, because that's what ends up being the factor in your ranking, I think. So,
yeah, no, again, big wins for the guys. And, you know, looking at your record this year, everyone's been pretty solid. Like, it does feel like you can find points everywhere, but that number two position, whether it's Calvin or Anton on any given day, and I want to start with Anton because, you know, he's a transfer coming over from UT Arlington who's had some pretty good teams over the last few years, but to have him step up, I think he's the team leader in wins right now, 11-6 in singles. What has allowed him to click so well in year one in Lincoln?
Well, He's a bulldog, man. He's got some fighting background. His dad was a professional kickboxer. He's from New Zealand. You know, that's a tough culture down there. Mm-hmm. But he's kind of just a gritty guy. And he came here and he was an unbelievable teammate, brought tons of energy, really bought into what we were doing straight away. And he gained the respect from our guys and the team. You know, he was kind of a leader by, you know, his actions. And you know, he'd probably admit that his tennis wasn't great when it came. It was good. It was good, but he's made a lot of strides in his tennis the last 6 to 7 months. And, you know, he went home and played the future and he got a few points in New Zealand. And he's kind of gained a little bit of confidence here with his tennis, you know. So he's kind of, both of those worlds are kind of meshing. And yeah, I mean, right now at number two singles, we've been doing great. And it's been nice to see we can hold down a position up there that high in the Big Ten. It's cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, it speaks to why you guys have had the success you've had. And it feels like doubles in particular. I know last year doubles was something you guys were pretty good at as well. And that three position, I think you guys lost like 3 or 4 matches total on the year. But feels a little more balanced in the doubles this year. And, you know, again, for people that don't know, you're a former NCAA doubles finalist. I appreciated the laugh when I said you dragged Kevin Metka to relevance because the real ones know. You know, Metka's second run, that one was a little more Kevin-centric. The first one, like, come on, we know. But is that something you've stressed in practice? Like, you talk about getting the team to buy in. I know doubles is something that requires hours spent in team practices, which sometimes some teams, you know, they'd rather get the individual work in. How much has that team and doubles in particular been stressed by you in year one?
Well, first, you got to give Kevin Metka some respect.
Yeah, I love like, Kevin. If we can't joke about him, come on.
I know that he's... For you know, two guys from Central Ohio, yeah. You know, we played each other in high school tennis, you know, and so just seeing how he evolved, how he came in basically as a walk-on at Ohio State to doing those. I mean, we were a couple points away from playing in the U.S. Open together, which is crazy to think about. But
who's taller?
I'm taller.
Okay, that's what I wanted, because you guys were both, there was a lot of wigs. Again, that's one of my favorite teams. Like, you guys were just bombing serves, the length. Yeah. Oh, you think
he was strong. That guy's a beast.
Yeah. If I gave you 2 months, could you make a run at this year's NCAAs?
I think Ray and I could get the job done. Ray would have to carry me on the return games. But
look, if Ray has one of those weeks like he had in Athens 2014, like, yeah, you guys could win the damn thing. I would say he's the closest we'll ever come to seeing a mortal mimic Roger Federer's forehand. Like, just for the record, it's the closest we have technique.
That now and still the same. He still looks just like that out.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize. Yes. Again, to talk about doubles here, just I know that's something you've always been good at. And again, that's something certainly was stressed during your college time. Is that something you stress as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's where doing all the right things as a team, off the court, on the court, those, you know, when you're just closer as people, like, I think that makes a big difference in the doubles point. But yeah, I mean, doubles is huge. You know, it sets the tone for the rest of the match. You know, you come out those first points, it's, you know, you can see the energy and the attitude of the team you're playing straight away. So yeah, I mean, it's not just whether or not you win or lose the doubles point, it's how you win it and how you lose it. You know, I think that's a huge deal too. But yeah, it's a sprint. The doubles point happens so fast. You got to be on top of it from the first point. I always tell the guys, like, try, our motto right now is win all the boring points. Come out and win the first point in the game. Come out and win that 15 love point. When it's 40 love in the game, take care of it. You know, that's the point. That's the point you got to win. So, but yeah, I mean, doubles is huge, especially for us as a team that's trying to make the jumps and beat these teams that are ranked ahead of us. You know, it's just hard to do it without the doubles point. So, I mean, it's obviously you can, and it's just a little bit harder. And I think with the doubles point, it gives everyone a little bit more belief that, hey, like, we got this, let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, you mentioned it. You guys really haven't been healthy, or your healthiest all season. I know what Ronnie's played like 2 matches total in singles, whatever it may be. And so, you know, in that vein, obviously, people have had to step up in the lineup this season. I'm curious, and not to put you on the spot here, who's exceeded your expectations most in your lineup? Because, again, looking up and down the line, 10-4, 10-6, 8-6, 11-6, it's a lot of good records to choose from. Who has brought a consistency maybe this year that they didn't have in the past or just has managed to step up in a way, again, maybe you didn't expect to start the season?
Sure. So I would say there's a couple guys.
Yeah.
As a coach, you have to be careful who you give compliments to. And who
yeah.
I think they've all, I'll go on the record and say they've all done a really good job of stepping up in different ways in different times. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that's all happened together in one match yet. Mm-hmm. But I think if I could name two of them, I would say Calvin Mueller. Mm-hmm. We had to sit down with him and have a heart to heart with him in the fall because his talent's always been there. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of put together now, a run here. He's 3-0 in the Big Ten with wins over Michigan and Michigan State at the two position. And he's had an unbelievable year. He won the Big Ten individual tournament last week of the fall season, which was the first time anyone's ever done that here at the University of Nebraska. So I think he's kind of been the one that's really, I don't know if it's a surprise because since my time here, you could always see the talent and the ability, but he's been able to put it together mentally and physically he's tougher too. So him, and then I would say it's a tie between one of our other new guys, Nikolai Saisuev, and Rudy Christensen kind of coming in and playing at the bottom. Just Rudy hadn't really had a chance to play a ton in his college career, so you didn't really know exactly what he could offer. And same with Nico, he transferred here from New Mexico, and you could see the talent, but those guys have done a really good job of coming in at the bottom and every point's super valuable in college tennis, and they really embraced the role down there. But I think as a team, everyone's just been doing great. It's just, we've hadn't had that match where everyone clicks on the same page. And I think hopefully our time's coming and we're doing all the right things. It's just a matter of time, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the scariest part for other teams across the country is seeing that fact, knowing you guys haven't been healthy and still seeing the success you guys have managed to have. And look, I don't need to tell you how important home matches and conference play are. You mentioned those Michigan matchups where, again, you had to go on the road against a Michigan State team that will certainly be top 16 this week after their win at Illinois, a Michigan team that should be back in the top 35 as well. You're hosting Illinois and Northwestern this weekend.
Yep.
Now, for fans that don't know the stakes, obviously, again, NCAA tournament push. You guys are right in the mix. Talk to me about this weekend, what it's going to mean to this program, what you're hoping to see.
Yeah, I mean, we talked to the guys last weekend. We're like, hey, when the elephant's in the room, you got to acknowledge it. These are big weekends, guys. Let's talk about it. It is what it is. We know it's a big weekend. It's a big weekend. How can we leave the weekend with no regrets? Whether we win or lose, how can we leave this weekend with no regrets? And that's how we're approaching it this weekend, too. Obviously, Illinois is an unbelievable team. They got unbelievable players. Brad and Tim do a great job, and so do Arvid and Chris at Northwestern. Veteran coach and coaching staffs, excellent coaching, just through and through great teams year after year in the Big Ten. So we're going to have to be ready. It's going to come down to the little X's and O's and executing at the right time, but we're expecting two really high-quality matches.
Yeah. Was there a Kapinski-Guillaume-Cobalt-Metka matchup back in the day? There had to have been.
I don't think there was. I don't think there was. But I will say the Kapinski and Guillaume, wow, I forgot about Guillaume. That guy was a fighter too, but I'll never forget that match where they beat us in the Big Ten championship.
Yeah.
That was a tough one, that's for sure. But
see, that era is my strike zone. We have an intern who I was talking about, and I brought up the name Ferris Gosea, and he didn't know who it was, and I made him sleep outside. I was like, "That you want to work for Crack Rackets and you don't know this era?" He's like, "Who's Jared Hiltzik?" I was like, "Who's Jared Hiltzik?" I was like, I had a stroke. I was like, I'm going to have a panic attack here. And so, again, massive weekend and certainly looking forward to that one as well. And, more broadly, moving forward for your team, as we kind of talked about you establishing yourself here in year one, I know, again, It's still an interim tag. But what are the things you are hoping to do down the home stretch of this season as you try to build this Nebraska program to where you know it can be?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just keep doing the things that we've been doing. You know, I think I keep improving as a coach every day. I learn new stuff, you know, how to communicate better, how to coach better, how to lead better. And I think the guys are doing the same thing. I just think we just have to keep going. You know, my focus is just on today, trying to do the best I can today and not worry about, you know, everything else that's going on around me and around the team. And what's happened in the past, you know, you can use the past to help you, but you got to really buckle down on what we're doing today and try and do the best you can. But
yeah. Well, again, so far it certainly seems to be working. As I mentioned, your Nebraska team currently 12-7 overall, 62 in the rankings. Certainly, NCAA tournament push on the horizon. You mentioned a little bit earlier NIL and changing and the changes coming in college tennis. I'm just curious to final few questions here. Yeah. Recruiting itself, because obviously that's something you're doing much more of in the head coaching role. Obviously last year as the assistant, you mentioned when you got the job, you were over in Europe. How different is that recruiting process today, what you are trying to sell as a coach versus what you were sold, you know, not that long ago as you were trying to enter college tennis? Do you think that recruiting process has changed?
Yeah, I think, you know, you get on more and more phone calls, and I think even the guys in Europe are starting to catch on that there's different opportunities now in college tennis than there were before. So, you know, you kind of have to be ready to communicate, you know, what you're able to do a little bit, but yeah, I mean, it's just different. I think it was more like, hey, you look at the rankings, you look at the coaching staff, you look at the guys in the team, and then you kind of made a decision. For me, it was easy. It was Ohio State, and it was what I grew up with, and yeah. I knew what Ty and Justin had and Schilling at the time were doing there, and I was just like, well, yeah, that easy for me. But yeah, I mean, it's always changing. And, you know, I think you can't harp on like, oh, why is it changing? You know, it is, you know, this or, you know, that. You just have to adapt, and you have, you know, the goal is to be, I think, the first one to adapt and try and get in front of it as soon as you can. And then just be willing to work with how it works, you know, but.
You mentioned the international aspect. Is it easier to sell college tennis? Like, even if someone hasn't heard of the school in Nebraska or hasn't heard of wherever you were recruiting before, have they heard of college tennis and the success of that as a pathway, and thus they're more inclined to listen?
Yeah, I think college tennis is definitely inside of a lot of Europeans' heads now. I think it's definitely, they see the path. I think they, you know, I still think that pro tennis is kind of the way they see themselves going, you know, still, but you're seeing more and more guys definitely open to talking about it and listening about it. And, you know, you're able to talk to some guys who, you know, I would assume 4, 5, 6 years ago would just be like, no. And I think NIL also plays a role in that too, because to play on the pro tour, you need to fundraise, you need to fund yourself. So I think being able to do all that and still study and get an education, which has always been, in my opinion, one of the coolest things, is that you get to play tennis and also study and, you know, get a degree from an amazing university. But now you're also able to potentially begin to fundraise for yourself and then do all that and then be able to support yourself on tour for a year or two. I think that's opening some more eyes overseas for sure.
Absolutely. What was your recruiting pitch to Ray? Was it just as simple as you kind of mentioned earlier? Hey, we're doing, like, we talked about this 15 years ago. I have the opportunity. Come on, man, let's do it. What did that look like?
Well, it was more like, I need you, man.
It's you or Gruskin, man. Come on.
Yeah, I can't do that. But he was here a little bit in the summer working with one of the boys that was on our team. He was working with Henry Belisic privately over the summer, and he came and was just around the program for some in the summer. And before Sean even left, you know, we were considering asking him to be on the staff as a third coach. And then, you know, we were obviously hanging out and like just talking about everything. And once it happened, there was already some talking going on, but yeah, I was like, you know, let's do this, Ray. And he was like, yeah.
Were you guys teammates BNP? Did you guys play that collegiate event together? It would have been about that range.
No, my teammates were Marco Giron and Mitchell Frank.
Oh yeah, that's a good squad. By the way, not the worst.
Like Robin Anderson and Lauren Embry. Lauren, the one who played for Georgia.
Anyways, yes.
Sabrina from USC. They were unbelievable. It was like they just took care of everything. We didn't have to do anything.
In an event like that, you realize it's actually the women who do the heavy lifting. It's like the gap between them and their competitors, I'm sure, like they were exceptional and that had to be fun. And no, I mean, again, I imagine it's all, I guess, has it set in? Like you kind of mentioned right away getting all these things thrown at you, but you've now been head coach for 6 months. Has it set in? Like these are the responsibilities. Have you found your routine? Do you feel more comfortable growing into the role now, or is it still a little bit of a dream?
Well, yeah, I think there's still some things I'm doing for the first time. So I think until, you know, I'm done doing everything for the first time, like it's hard to say, like I got it all figured out. That's for sure.
Enough.
I would go to say that, you know, you would be in this coaching for 10 years and you still don't have everything figured out. But I would say I'm definitely a little bit more comfortable. I know my routines. I kind of have things built into place, and I know there's always going to be something that comes out of left field that I don't see coming. So just being able to stay on top of everything and get work done when it needs to be done. So when those things do pop up, I can handle them as opposed to the round. So,
yeah. Well, again, the success speaks for itself. 12-7 overall. My last question for you, players, fans, whomever it may be, come to watch your team play. What do you want their takeaway to be from watching the Huskers compete this season?
Well, I think the one thing that I really wanted when I took over was I wanted this team to represent Nebraska. You know, I wanted them to be hardworking, blue collar, tough guys, you know, that just roll up their sleeves and come to work every day and be okay with whatever that looks like, you know. So when the fans come out, I want them to represent the people of Nebraska. That's the biggest thing for me is you know, when they come and they watch the guys in the team, they see themselves. They see the last 50 years of Nebraska, and they're proud. They're proud of that because I think that's what they're, you know, ultimately going to get behind in the end is a team that represents them well. So for me, that was the most important thing. But yeah, I mean, I believe in being tough. I believe in being mentally fit, physically fit, and going out there and, you know, being aggressive and taking it to them, you know. I think that's the way to do it. But
well, certainly for any Nebraska fans who want to see the ethos of this team, head on out to the Dillon Tennis Center this weekend, 6 p.m. Central Time on Friday. A fantastic matchup with Illinois. And then Sunday's matchup's just as important, noon Central Time against Northwestern. I know they're matches we're looking forward to covering, certainly on our Big Ten cross-court cast. And, you know, again, beyond that, I always get the enjoy the opportunity. Like, listeners should know, again, growing up, I was first and foremost a fan of college tennis. And, you know, you're your biggest fan of college sports probably in high school or as a middle schooler when you don't have much else going on. And again, like 2012 to 14, like that was my strike zone. And who was one of the best players in college tennis at that time? It was Peter Kobelt. So for me, this is always still a dream. I'm like, I can't believe he responds to my text. This is hilarious. So sincerely, congratulations, my friend. So well deserved to see you in this position. And, you know, again, I will be outside of every office in Lincoln holding up the remove the interim tag sign until they do, my friend. So wishing you luck and appreciate you taking the time to chat today.
Yeah, and thanks, Alex. Obviously, you do a ton for not just college tennis now, but for tennis in general. But especially from the college tennis side, we appreciate all the coverage that you all do at Cracked Rackets for all of us, making it feel like a really special environment. So hopefully it continues for many, many more years.
I appreciate that, my friend. Good luck to you, not just this weekend, but throughout the rest of this year.
Cool. Thanks, Alex. Appreciate it.
Hope all of you enjoyed my conversation with Nebraska men's tennis head coach Peter Kobelt. A thank you again to Coach for taking the time to chat. I think you could hear how giddy I was. By the way, a lot of stray shots at Kevin Metko, one of the most players I respect most, probably during my from my tenure as fan in college tennis. People forget his win over Ty Kwiatkowski of Virginia, that 4-3 win that propelled Ohio State forward at that 2014 National Indoors. You know, that was probably the swing match that ultimately gets them over the hump to winning that first men's national team indoor championship. Obviously, they've won two in the subsequent years since, but you know, again, the work ethic of a guy like Metka who redshirts in this development. It's a testament to what college tennis can be. Anyways, if he listened to this, hopefully he made it to the end, the outro. Kevin Metka, I love you. You're more than welcome to come on the show to yell at me, deservedly so, about how I probably shorted you a little bit there in that podcast. But more importantly, boy, am I a believer in Coach Kobelt. It's just so clear how much he cares about every detail, every step, about getting things right, because he values the opportunity so much that he has to be a head coach of this program. He knows what college tennis can mean to so many people, given what it meant to him. Anyways, to hear insight from him about what year one on the job has been like, such valuable insight. I hope all of you listeners appreciated it. I certainly enjoyed hearing it. A thank you to Coach, who will always have a seat available here on this podcast. That said, as I alluded to in the intro, it's one of our final weekends of coverage here in this 2024 college tennis season on ESPN Plus. We will have Big 12 broadcasts, I think, every day, Thursday through Sunday. This weekend on ESPN Plus, we'll have ACC coverage Friday, Sunday, SEC coverage Friday, Sunday on ESPN Plus, and then, of course, the Big 10 on our Crack Rackets YouTube channel on Sunday. So if you want to see how this 2024 college tennis season ends, make sure you tune in to all of our Crack Rackets coverage throughout the course of the weekend. Of course, we've got live recaps of every week of the season, Tuesday, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time on our Crack Rackets YouTube channel. Those are always posted on the Great Shot podcast feed the next day as well. A shout out, as always, to our super producer, Daniel Westhoff, for the of an editing job he does day in, day out, making all of that content possible. With that said, though, for our fantastic guest, Nebraska men's tennis head coach Peter Kobelt, for our super producer Daniel Westhoff, and all of us here at both Crack Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You've been listening to another edition of the Crack Interviews Podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy. See you all soon. Thanks, everyone.